Hello, and welcome to the Watson Weekend. I'm Rick Watson.
Hi, I'm Jessica Lisewski. We are two voices in retail who are just as confused as you are. I guess we're just better at hiding it or pretending that we're not.
Yeah, that's somewhat. And every week we're on here to break down the circus that is retail, technology, and e-commerce. From supply chains on strike to CEOs on TikTok.
There we go. Or kiss cams. Oh, the dream keeps going. Yeah. So think of us as your crash course in chaos management minus the MBA. You're always going to get the latest headlines here, if not more. We go deep. We cut deep in the best way.
In the best way possible. Yes.
So Rick, we have a new episode sponsor. Tell everyone who brings us this fine program today.
Yes, this week we are sponsored by Rithm, and we're excited. It's our old ChannelAdvisor/Commerce Hub folks rebranded several years ago.
That's right.
They have a new event coming out in New York this month, in London next month. Just to tell you guys some about it, Rithm Live it's going to be a really cool event. I'm going to be there. Come on. September 25th in New York City, yes. October 9th in London. Our esteemed producer, Vinnie O'Brien, is going to be there on stage with Nike. One day of insights at both events, big brands, future of commerce. Get details at www.rithum.com/NYC.
Wow. That sounds like that's going to be a really exciting event. And yeah. I can't wait to see Vinnie, you know, kicking it in Big Ben Parliament.
Yeah. Aaron Schmidt, if you're in the office, if you're in the audience, I'm looking out for you.
That's right. Yeah. So, well, we've got actually kind of a different type of show today that I think you're going to intro in a bit. Before we get there, let's hit our headline hangover.
All right, here we go. Our first story. Wall Street expected a big jobs revision. The reality is what?
The reality is big jobs revision. The reality is bleak.
We're going to give you that one. The reality is even worse.
Oh, okay. All right. Did I get like a half a point?
Yeah, I think you do pretty well here. Thanks. I mean, basically, economists expected there to be about 700,000 fewer jobs between March of last year and March of this year. Instead, the figure was revised down about $911,000. Or not 911,000 people, not dollars.
Yeah,
anyway,
dollars.
We're talking about
dollars and cents. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a problem. Clearly, to be honest, anyone paying attention to the economy doesn't think the job market is going fantastic. There's not like boatloads of hirings. It seems like level one and level two support doesn't exist anymore, which is a lot of jobs. And companies are making managers prove that a job can't be done by AI before you even open a job rec anymore. And I think, I don't know if it's universal, but it's pretty darn near universal.
Yeah, it is. And I mean, look, I had someone kind of flash up, here's like my new marketing team. They were talking about another company and it was like Dwight Schrute, Jim Halpert, Pam Beasley, Kelly Kapoor, but they were all basically the personas of the agentic AI parts that were basically, these were the characters from The Office, but they were the code names for the agentic roles that were being created within like this AI driven marketing department. So the buzz is out there for sure. The other headlines the news that I read, Rick, was, look, it is a very uncertain time. You have tariffs, you have lots of different things happening in the global landscape that makes it not feel as certain as, okay, I have a forward-looking trajectory. I feel like I can control what I can control. Therefore, I have confidence in investing. And so I think that starts to pull back you know, people feeling comfortable with, you know, placing bigger bets or making big investments in certain areas, which are going to require them to staff up orgs.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation. I definitely felt that at the first half of the year. In August, it felt like some people were like, okay, get on with it. We have to plan something. So some budgets started opening up. I was just moderating a panel at Beanstalk event in NYC, a boardroom discussion about 2 days ago. And there were several big brands, CEOs in the audience that you would recognize. And all of them were like, the consumer has not seen the impact of tariffs. And the reason is because a lot of them haven't taken effect. People are still selling through inventory that they bought pre-tariffs. And so September is the month that you're going to start seeing them, which means we may actually see it in earnings until December, January timeframe. Right. We won't see a full quarter of tariff impact until 26. Probably February when we get Q4 earnings.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be an interesting one to watch too, at a time that's also peak buying season, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, my turn. I'm up.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's me. Okay, let's flip to the next one. Google admits the open web is in what, Rick?
Free fall?
Oh, I'm going to give you a half a point too for that. They just admitted something that we all suspected. The web is in rapid decline. It's at the same time that they were like, hey, guys, no, we're thriving. We're like, I'm 30, I'm flirty, I'm fabulous. It's like your friends swearing they love CrossFit. They're secretly canceling their gym membership, right? Lots of things. But, you know, it's also interesting because the confession is coming at the same time they're doing this court filing. They have this cage match with the U.S. Department of Justice. The DOJ wants to break up parts of Google, as you know.
They're not selling Chrome.
That train is not leaving that station. They're like, hey, don't blame us. Web's falling apart, guys. Like, it's not us. It's them. Like, things are not okay. Publishers watching their traffic, partly thanks to AI summaries. Google swears clicks are relatively stable. But it doesn't seem like we are in the bright days of the Google glory world.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of Google, in the last year, they really ramped up their kind of AI summaries, which killed off a lot of the publishing business. And so that's a challenge. I think people are worried about ChatGPT and how to show up in those now, although as a percentage of traffic, it's still pretty low.
Yeah.
I've been tracking my own stats, and it's pretty small, but it's growing fast. But it's kind of hard not to grow fast when you're talking about small numbers. But everyone knows what the future is, and it's not the open web, because everyone with proprietary data is shutting down, because AI is coming for your data, folks. If you're not behind a paywall.
Yes, it is. The crawlers be crawling, right?
Correct.
Okay, here we go. So good on you. You got some points there.
Yeah, I'm good. Our next story. This is an old friend of the program. And so I wonder if you're going to have a little bit of an advantage here as a customer. Vivral adds blank to luxury accessories membership program.
I forget there. It's like an AI stylist. Is it like Donna or I forget exactly what her name is.
I mean, AI is a pretty good bet. AI stylist. I don't think it's going to look like that. It fits for really any occasion based on the closets that Vivrel is a part. But like, hey, I need an outfit for a girl's night in Miami, which I'm just going to suggest that for you. And so if the weather's going to be warm or cold, it's just going to, you're going to be able to order those items and then shop and return, I guess.
Yeah, I need her for September. September is a weird month, man. It's like, is it fall? It's still hot outside. I'm not ready to break out the sweaters. There's pumpkin spice everywhere. So it's, it's dicey.
Yeah, no, for sure. So, AI is we'll gain you half a point on many of these headlines, and so we're. But you definitely got this one.
Awesome. Okay, we'll go to the last one. Office Depot's new pickup promise: what or a $15 coupon?
New pickup promise: blank or a $15 coupon. I am gonna say, your order is ready on time.
You're close again. I'll give you a halvesies. Your stuff's ready for pickup in 15 minutes. If you don't, they get a coupon. Look, the president of Office Depot is saying this is the fastest, easiest shopping experience in the nation. Very bold claim for when you're basically selling three hole punches and printer ink. The kicker here is this $15 coupon also might be worth more than what you're buying. $10 notebook. I don't know. Like, so it's kind of interesting. But is this news? We'll see. Office Depot's parent company, as you know, ODP, has been struggling a little bit. They posted a $32 million operating loss in Q1 of this year. They are trying to reinvent themselves. They've tested same-day delivery, same-day printing, partnering with Grubhub. I guess my question really, Rick, is, are you down with ODP?
I'm not sure I'm down with ODP. I think the office market, look, Amazon and Walmart could easily eat the office market if they were going to go after it. Amazon Business is still growing pretty fast. Amazon doesn't report on that very much, but it's almost like the silent giant of Amazon Business, because it's so easy to buy things either through a Business Prime subscription, or they doubled it up so your normal Prime can actually work as Business Prime now.
Yeah.
Which is an interesting program. So 15 minutes, $15, not going to do it for me.
Yeah. Okay. So we're not down with ODP. You don't know me.
No.
If you know, you know. So we got a little bit of a different show today. It's not Friday. It's Thursday.
Yes. So
Rick, kind of tell us what we're up to.
Yes. We are introducing a brand new podcast here on the Watson Weekend Show called O Shift, which is kind of the collision between SaaS and AI. What I saw out there in the world is there's so much content out there about like agentic consumer and AI and like things that are going on. And so from a buyer side, you're just getting inundated with things like the world's going to change tomorrow. Yet, like, how normal people operate software companies, marketplaces, brands wasn't really being covered anywhere. And so if you're the CEO of a software company, if you're the head of sales, if you're the head of marketing, what you hear is like, oh, I don't need salespeople anymore, or AI is terrible. And so there's no discussion. We all know that the reality is somewhere in the middle. Yep. And so the O Shift podcast, it's actually our first YouTube exclusive show. So if you go to the RMW Commerce YouTube channel, under podcasts, there's a section for O Shift, and you'll see the videos at the top as well. We'll probably release it to other podcast outlets later on, but got to go to YouTube to see this one. This episode is actually quite interesting. There's a term out there that I think a lot of people don't fully understand called MCP, or Model Context Protocol. And it is a tech standard that was introduced by Anthropic, which allows the large language models, particularly like any agent, it could be OpenAI agents or agents you build yourselves, to connect to basically any data source.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you have a data source, you can build your own MCP server for it and then connect it to an agent. And then it just can process that data as if it had crawled the web for that data, or and then it could take actions based on the things that you enabled. So it's almost like an AI or an API layer for the LLMs, so that you can add new capabilities to it and like new data sources. So I asked all the platforms like, hey, we'd love you guys to come on the program. Salesforce responded first. So I was excited to have, actually, I was able to get the senior vice president of engineering, Shailesh Kumar. He's been at Salesforce for, I think, just about a year now. He was previously at Tableau. He was also previously at ClickUp, leading them through a hypergrowth phase. So someone pretty high up in Commerce Cloud, at Salesforce talking about what Salesforce is doing with MCP. And that's what the show is about. So wanted to thank again Rhythm for sponsoring the show. And are you down with MCP?
I feel like I'm going to be after I learn this. But yes. Yeah, I'm going to be absorbing like a sponge. This one's going to be really exciting. Congrats again on the launch of the show. It's definitely filling a void. I know that I feel just trying to unpack what's going on in this landscape. So
yes,
it's exciting.
You're listening to the O-Shift podcast, a production of RMW Commerce. This show is for software leaders that are navigating a transition from a traditional software company to one that's powered by AI.
Salesforce is definitely investing in areas which are AI-specific to agents, specific to integrations. We will not be able to build all the agents that the world needs. I have a 14-year-old son and he can build agents. Then the pace of innovation is extremely high and we should not fight it, but adopt it.
Welcome to the O-Shift podcast, where we explore how real software companies are evolving in an AI-first world without rewriting everything from scratch. I'm your host, Rick Watson, founder of RMW Commerce, and each week I speak with CEOs, CTOs, and other leaders in the trenches, kind of navigating the messy, fascinating shift to AI across marketing, product engineering, and products. This week is kind of a special episode where I'm speaking with Shailesh Kumar, the Senior Vice President of Engineering at Commerce Cloud and Retail at Salesforce. We speak with him about Model Context Protocol, or MCP, a standard that's been quickly emerging, introduced by Anthropic, about how models can connect with external data sources. I appreciate you coming on. Thank you so much, Shailesh.
Thank you, Vic.
Your background is super interesting. It's almost like you can't escape Salesforce. Like every company you go to either gets acquired by Salesforce or you're at a subsidiary of Salesforce. Can you talk about your history a little bit?
So right now I'm SVP of engineering at Salesforce. I lead engineering for Commerce Cloud. I've been here for almost 10 months now. Prior to this, I was at ClickUp. I was the CTO for ClickUp for 3 years. Prior to that, I was at MuleSoft, came through the MuleSoft acquisition, ran product engineering for MuleSoft, and been at Tableau and Informatica before then. I'm actually very fortunate to have worked at companies that are now part of Salesforce right. Family. Salesforce is a great place to be. So I think Salesforce is definitely investing in areas which are future looking, investing in areas that are specific to data, specific to AI, specific to agents, specific to integrations. And a lot of things that you see in the AI world will lean on data and integrations, because right. Until you put those things together, it's very difficult to get a lot of great insights using any agents.
Right. And can you talk about your scope at Salesforce? You said Commerce Cloud, like what does that involve?
So Commerce Cloud and Retail Cloud involves our B2C product, which is Demandware, our B2B product, our order management systems product, and our POS product, which is our point of sale product that came through an acquisition of a company we did last September called Brave mm-hmm. Spring. Mm-hmm. So I lead engineering for all these four products.
Got it. No, it makes sense. And now I guess let's jump right into this AI conversation. And everyone's already speaking about it. You know, I think we can all assume that most people know what ChatGPT and Claude is and why an LLM is useful. Many people may not be familiar with the term Model Context Protocol, or MCP. What problem does it solve?
So if you think of MCP from a developer perspective, the one way to think of MCP is like APIs. Mm. So some time back when there were no agents, you would build UIs on top of the APIs which System 6 exposes. And UI was your experience layer where you click on things and you do your business mm-hmm. cases from there. Now we have agents. Agents are doing different actions and they're less deterministic nature, because based on your actions and based on your context, they do certain specific things. Mm-hmm. And you're in the new world, agents becomes your experience and UI layer, and MCPs become your APIs. MCPs become your API layer. That's how I tell people to think about it, coming from the old world to the new world, that agents mm-hmm. is your new UI and MCP is your new API. That's how I look at it. MCP gives you a lot of exposure to how to interact data, to business systems, to systems mm-hmm. in general, for you to build agents on top of it.
Right.
And you can have multiple MCPs to build agents. You can click, stitch them together. And it's actually much easier to build agents now using MCPs. Like I think mm-hmm. MCP has been a fantastic attribution to the agentic world, especially from Anthropic. Hats off to them.
Yeah, and I screenshotted a picture from the video Salesforce release, which shows a little bit like how an agent could connect to multiple MCP servers, you know, rather than doing custom integrations, you know. So makes a lot of sense. Why is Salesforce investing in MCP capabilities?
So if you think about it from a Salesforce perspective, MCP is big because Salesforce is not just a set of products, but it's also a platform itself. And as we have lots and lots of Salesforce developers building custom applications on top of our platform. And in future, they'll build custom agents on top of our platform. And for them to build custom agents, they need access to MCPs that will help them stitch them together, even across different Salesforce entities, and stitch them together with other entities outside of Salesforce, the one you showed right now. Mm-hmm. And that's the nature of it. We will not be able to build all the agents that the world needs. Mm-hmm. We need Salesforce developers and everyone around to build agents on top of the MCPs that we expose.
Right. And the Salesforce, when you think about the idea that Salesforce is releasing MCP support across Salesforce, you have a specific pilot within your group. Can you talk about the pilot?
So as I think we are getting into a lot of uncharted territory across the industry. inside Commerce Cloud, we release an MCP pilot primarily to get a lot of information and insights on how people want to use MCP and what types of agents people want to build. And that's where, in the broader context of Salesforce MCP, we have released an MCP pilot focused on shopper, focused on product listing, focused on search. Mm-hmm. And we want to see how people want to use this MCP and get feedback in terms of agents they want to build. How do they want to see MCP, or in terms of commerce in general, retail coming together, given that, you know, commerce is composable. Many of our customers use not only us, but they use other products around our, you know, Commerce Cloud to stitch them and build a commerce and e-com platform. And mm-hmm. we want to see how they want to use our MCP along with other products and platforms and really build a composable commerce agent. So right now we're learning. I think this is an amazing learning phase, and our pilot is primarily focused on that.
Got it. And I hear a lot of some of the statements that you're speaking about, including like building agents. And so it makes me think it's a developer-focused offering. Is it for merchants, shoppers, or developers?
I think right now it is for developers. Mm-hmm. And in future, as we learn, and as we understand how people are going to use this MCP, we may be able to give more higher level of abstractions on top of MCP for merchants to use. But right now it is focused on developers because you need to understand how to stitch these things together. MCP is like API, so you need to understand how to call these, how to do prompt engineering and tuning. Mm-hmm. And some of them might be, some of them are more focused for developers right now. However, I don't think it'll remain to developers. I think the number of developers going to explode in the world, where everyone will be a developer. So yes, it will still be targeted towards a developer, but I think merchants will also become developers. Mm. That's one way to look at it.
That's fascinating. Tell me more about that. What do you mean?
I think development in general, product development, will not be a forte or a niche of few people. It'll get democratized. It is getting democratized, especially with MCP. It's much easier to build agents. Now, I have a 14-year-old son, and he can build agents like no one's business. So that's where we are headed towards that. I think a lot of merchants will be able to build their own agents on top of these MCPs. So the term development and developers will get a lot more democratized, where everyone will be able to build products and softwares and agents. So that's where I think that the number of developers will increase. Like if you look at the GitHub accounts, the number of GitHub accounts and projects has just exploded in the last couple of years. Yeah. I think it'll only explode.
Yeah, sounds like mostly from your son. can you talk to me about people building their own MCP servers, connecting it to their own agents versus the public LLMs? How does Salesforce view that difference?
I think it's complementary. Mm-hmm. Because public LLMs are great for these foundational models, right? Or public LLMs are great for asking generic questions. And even at some level, they're also releasing few things which are good for business workflow. However, if you are really looking for a deterministic business workflow to be done, and you have a specific idea in mind, I think generic purpose LLMs and even operators, they still fall short. So there are a lot of these businesses, a lot of the businesses, merchants and shoppers, they want deterministic output in terms of what they want to do. And in a non-deterministic world, and that's where generic purpose LLMs might fall short. At least they're falling short today. Now, tomorrow, it's an evolving place, so hard to predict. But right now, MCPs have an amazing place because this is where merchants get control. Because if you think of merchants, how they look at commerce, they want control on how their e-com sites shows up, what personalized content shows up, how the contents is displayed and laid out. And they can't get that with LLMs, but they can get that with control with MCPs. So I think they're going to like MCPs way more than generic purpose LLMs.
Got it. And you used a few words in there. I want to make sure I understand properly and that the audience understands as well. Is custom built agents or agents built by your businesses a fit within a deterministic workflow versus a probabilistic one? Can you explain that distinction and what's so important? What does deterministic workflow mean, or deterministic output in particular, and why is that so critical for businesses?
So if you, I mean, deterministic in before AI came in, everything that you saw was more deterministic nature. It means that there was code behind the scene that was run in a very deterministic nature. That code was run 10 times, you will get the exact same output all the 10 times. In non-deterministic flow, the output of that is non-deterministic. It means that you may get different outputs based on very slight variations, which was not possible before. And that's what scares businesses today. That, okay, what if the customer has asked for, you know, boots and they see something else? So that's where the business gets scared about the non-deterministic nature of the generic purpose LLMs. And they like the non-deterministic nature in some aspects because it expands the horizon.
Yeah, it's that creative. There's creativity, right?
Very high creativity, but they want some deterministic nature in that they don't, you know, it has to play within some bounds. Right. And with generic purpose LLMs, you can't define those bounds. But if you give the MCPs to the merchants, it is up to them to define the bounds. And that's where I think even our Agentforce, we are releasing across Salesforce is giving them that bounds to play with them in the builder itself. So you can set the bounds and constraints. And that's what businesses love. Like otherwise, they get slightly afraid or a little bit unsure of releasing such agents.
Yeah. And this is plays perfectly in my next question. I mean, that there's obviously a lot of terminology and acronyms related to software development. So I just wanted to unpack the term Agentforce, which is, I see Matthew McConaughey in the commercials, but doesn't tell me what it is. Like, what is Agentforce?
Agentforce is our platform, the agentic platform that we are releasing to let people build agents on top of our technology, all our entities like Commerce Cloud, Marketing Cloud, Sales, Service, all of your use cases. As well as at part of Agentforce, we will have a lot of agents that will come out of the box, like SDR, service agent, and other agents that you will be able to use right out of the box with your Salesforce implementations. So that's Agentforce. It's not just the agents itself, but it's also the platform on which you can build agents. You can define constraints that, you know what, I want my agent to have within these constraints. I do not want X or Y or Z to happen. So for example, if I'm returning an object, I want that to go to a light agent for if it fits above a certain category or above a certain price point. So you can operate and define those constraints and tune those things in our agentic platform. And that's what Agentforce is for us. I think it's going to be game changing. Like Agentforce across the board will be game changing for Salesforce and every customer of ours. It'll truly define a different way of interacting with Salesforce.
Yeah, and I picked this out of your video as well. And some of this constraints you're mentioning were encoded into the instructions, which I think in the past would be like some kind of if-then rules that you would have to code, you know, hard code in a UI, but now it's a little bit more natural language based that you can say, if I interact with this data set, I want to make sure, what do I do next? Or what are the constraints I put around it?
And that makes development much faster because you're right. Earlier, you used to write Apex code, a lot of code to define those things. Now, it's a simple prompt. And the amount of time it takes to build an agent is significantly lower. So that's what I was saying the number of agents, the number of use cases now that our Agentforce can just expose in the amount of time it takes is just enormous, exponential value.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. And let's kind of, I guess, keep the conversation moving to the pilot itself. When you started the pilot, which is for retail, commerce crowd and retail, what were your goals for it? Were they qualitative or quantitative?
So if I look at when we started the whole agentic journey, we were looking to figure out how customers will use agents in the commerce world. And when Anthropic came up with MCP, it was amazing good that gave us a pattern.
This is like not that long ago, like just yeah, like it was five, six months ago almost.
Yes. I think MCP itself, just the it has been massive release and everyone has adopted MCP across the industry. So that's where hats off to Anthropic. I think it's really underrated innovation that has happened in the agent world. But if when MCP came out, that was a great vehicle for us to launch MCPs on top of our APIs, build schema on top of our APIs, give some dimensions so that we can learn from how people want to build agents. MCP, the pilot, the main goal for our MCP pilot is to understand and learn how people are going to use and what use cases people see light up. Because still, retail is going through its own transformation. Commerce is going through its own transformation in the agentic world. And I don't think anyone knows how agentic commerce would look like. So MCP is a great vehicle for us to not only empower our developers, but also learn from them as to what are they going to do with it. So that's I'm very excited about this release and just learning about what people are going to do with it.
Yeah, so this is a true kind of like greenfield situation. It's not like we're doing this because we think it's going to increase revenue by this. This is like, we don't know what we don't know. So let's put it in the hands of customers and see what they do with it.
Yes, yes. And that's where I think it is every merchant, every developer, and every shopper is going to find what agentic commerce would look like.
Mm. Yeah, that's fascinating. Which is interesting because there are so many people who seem to be very sure about what agentic is going to look like. And you're kind of taking the opposite point of view, which is like, how could anyone know for sure these concepts didn't exist 6 months ago? Let's follow where the customer wants to lead us.
Yes.
What do you think is unique about Salesforce's implementation of MCP, in the world?
If you look at Salesforce, just in general, our platform is omnichannel, supports multiple brands, has payments, a lot of very, very complex and widespread capabilities. And our MCP, the way our MCP is unique is that it gives you all those capabilities. So you can go all the way from product discovery to checkout. And that's and multi-region and multi-currency. So there's a lot of capability in it that you can make very powerful agents on top of it. So that's what makes it very unique, that the amount of capabilities that we're going to expose and we have exposed is very wide ranging. And that'll help our customers build very powerful agents. And we will learn from that. So that's what makes our platform very unique. We also have, you can also stitch it with other MCPs that we have inside Salesforce. So you can go from Marketing Cloud to Commerce Cloud. So you can start a campaign. You can build agents that starts campaigns and then goes to Commerce Cloud. So the stitching part is equally important. And that's where the whole MCP ecosystem for Salesforce is going to be much more unique than any other company or any other vendor in the world.
Talk to me about the stitching component. What do you mean?
If you look at MCPs, I mean, that's where you're looking at the MCP across Salesforce that we're releasing. We are releasing individual MCPs per cloud or per product line. However, we're also letting our agents stitch these MCPs. So for example, if you want to go from commerce to service. So for example, you built an agent on top of Commerce Cloud and bought a shirt and you want to return a shirt and talk to a service agent on top of it. You can build something there. So that's where you can stitch purchase as well as post-purchase experience on an agent if you have both Service Cloud and Commerce Cloud and you are using our MCPs. And then stitching will be very easy for you because we do share a lot of context internally. So the profile and the unified profile will be shared for the shopper. So it makes it a lot easier. And that's where stitching will become a lot more easier because when you talk about retail, they think of marketing to commerce to service and order management, all of them in the same context and not very separately. So having an ability to stitch these MCPs will be very unique, not only unique, but very powerful.
Yeah. And look, you're talking about a few different capabilities here. You're talking about developers, the ability to create agents, the ability to create agents that have guardrails around them with these instructions, to be able to go between multiple different major domains like marketing, commerce, to service. These are some pretty powerful capabilities. Talk to me about the use case, because this is not like a small business is not going to do this, certainly not out of the box. You're like, you don't have a development team. And so who do you think is going to adopt this compared to like a big company with a development team versus a software vendor versus like a global system integrator type company?
I think that initially you would see more global system integrators adopt it. But as it gets easier, I would say very quickly you will see even small businesses adopt it. And that's what I was saying, is that MCP makes it extremely easy to build agents. So even stitching these MCPs is very easy. As you know, the kind of the barriers of builder, the builder pattern gets broken by probably this global SIs, you will see a lot more even small companies able to build these agents very, very quickly on top of stitching these MCPs. And I don't think it'll take many years. I think we are probably a few months or maybe a few quarters out. Things are moving much faster than any time before. So maybe it'll start with global SIs or companies with large development teams. Very quickly, it'll get adopted by a larger set of developers.
No, this is great. I appreciate like this, you know, primer, frankly, of, you know, MCP, but also like how Salesforce is thinking about it, adoption, goals, learning. Is there anything else that you think the audience who is like commerce practitioners, software vendors, agencies, a lot of people, you know, our goal is to help people listen and learn to what's happening. What do you think they can learn about how Salesforce is looking at the problem that they might be able to apply to your businesses, even if they're not your customer?
I think that in general, I would say we should stop thinking in silos now, especially with agents. I think a lot more silos are getting broken and will be broken. So that's one nugget that I have seen and we have seen inside Salesforce, and it's extremely important. As we are seeing people build agents, people are building very, very powerful agents. So one is the silos are getting broken. The development pace is exponential right now. So if you think something is absolutely impossible, that becomes possible 3 months later.
Right.
So the pace of innovation is extremely high. So every vendor is catching up. Many of our customers are catching up. Having an open mind always helps. So my only piece of nugget that I give to myself and I'll say everyone is, the first one, no more silos. I think the businesses are not looking at it. The agent is not looking at it. As MCPs definitely accelerates that, like breaking those silos for sure. And then the pace of innovation is extremely high, and we should not fight it, but adopt it. And we should embrace it. The pace of innovation, that'll be massively differentiating for everyone.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating. And I really appreciate all your insight today, Shailesh. And you know, thanks for coming on the podcast to help our audience get smarter.
I'm here to learn. I'm learning from the MCP, so great learning.
Yeah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the OShift podcast, a production of RMW Commerce. If you're wrestling with how to adopt AI inside your software company, send me a message on LinkedIn, DM me. I'd love to hear your story and maybe feature it on a show.